We hear the words of our Lord recorded in the Gospel of St. John, the 10th chapter. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. These are your words, Heavenly Father, they are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. The year that I was born, one of the best baseball players in the major leagues at that time was a gentleman by the name of Roy Campanella. He came in kind of the second wave of African-American players right after Jackie Robinson, who helped break the color barrier, of course. Roy Campanella was a catcher for at the time the Brooklyn Dodgers, now the Los Angeles Dodgers, and was he was the highest paid player on their team. Back then, baseball players didn't make a lot of money, and compared to today anyway. And he had a job as well on the side during the winter time. And one January evening on his way home from work, his car went off the road and hit a pole and rolled over. He didn't have a seatbelt on, and he was crushed inside of the car and was paralyzed from the shoulders down. And while he waited for help to come and finally get to him, he said years later in interviews from his wheelchair that he remembers reciting the words of the 23rd Psalm over and over as a way of comforting himself. This phraseology of the 23rd Psalm that we just used in the hymn and that we hear reflected in the reading for today from John 10 and that we will see scattered throughout the week in our chapel addresses is one of the most familiar and beautiful pieces of Scripture. And it's very familiar to us as Christians. Probably many of you have committed the entire psalm to memory. And the same was true for the Jewish people, too, before the time of Christ. Many of them committed this to memory, probably even in greater capacity than many of us have in the Christian church today. In many Jewish homes, this psalm was said during the evening meal or before the evening meal every Sabbath day. So it certainly was familiar. And when our Lord Jesus, standing probably in the temple grounds, maybe nearby some sheep vendors, when he says and speaks these words, it was very clear that he was drawing upon one of the most powerful images of the Old Testament regarding the Messiah and applying it now directly to himself and to his mission. I've come to the conclusion through the years that Jesus was a pretty good theologian. And I've also come to the conclusion that he seems to have kind of understood nature pretty well and our world. And he was not a bad teacher, I guess, either. Hope you sense my understatements. One theologian says this about Psalm 23 and Jesus' application of it. He says, this parable is one of the most beautiful, comforting, and then detailed in its correctness. There's so much application from the imagery of the good shepherd and the flock of sheep. It's just amazing. You push, quite often when you can take little illustrations and push them, they start to fall apart after a while. But this one just seems to go on forever. There's so much detail in it. And there's a universal appeal to this theme of Christ being the good shepherd. And one of the reasons for that, too, is the fact that sheep are found pretty much all around the world. Any place that you can have a human being live and stay alive, typically you'll be able to have sheep likewise live and stay alive. From the desertous regions of Australia all the way to the heights of the mountains in Mongolia, you will find herds of sheep everywhere. We don't see them quite as much around here. There's one farm on the way to St. Peter, but they're certainly here in the United States as well. Our Lord's sheep are in his care due to his deliberate act of protecting them and keeping them from harm. The greatest harm being that of death, our sins, the coming judgment, and eternal damnation. Sheep are very easily domesticated. Next to dogs, they claim that sheep are probably the animal that is the most easily domesticated by human beings. They're often very playful. Children will often make them into pets on the farm. But because of this capacity to be domesticated, they also are extremely vulnerable to danger. They leave themselves wide open to being abused and harmed and destroyed. The fact that Christ, in this text before us, has stated that he has come to give his life for the sheep is a very fitting metaphor for his greatest act, and that of going to Calvary to atone for all of our sins. Because it's there that he laid down his life for each one of us, shedding his holy blood so that we would not be harmed. When young, probably teenager David stood before Saul, trying to convince him to let him go up against Goliath, and Saul was not convinced this little kid could do it, David said this. He said, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth." That ancestor of our Lord was speaking also prophetically of the great work of your Savior, our Lord Jesus, who's gone up against the roaring lion that seeks to devour us and the devil, and by laying down his life for you and me, paying for our sins, has now brought us safely into his care. And Jesus tells us also that the Good Shepherd is intimately acquainted with each one of his sheep. Sheep have what animal behaviorists call a following instinct. They claim that a sheep will easily be led by the voice of the shepherd, but not by the smell of the shepherd's clothing, and not by the dogs that the shepherd may use to kind of guide and steer them, but the voice of the shepherd seems to resonate more than anything else in their minds to lead them. Sheep are easily agitated, very easily startled by loud noises. They say if you fire off a gun near a herd of sheep, you'll just see them scatter. And for that reason, even when they would select the dogs to work with the sheep, they would often find dogs that did not bark very much and had a very gentle nature. People that deal with sheep often, they claim, will even make sure that a dog is really good with little children first before they'll take it out to work with a flock of sheep. It's not the harsh law of God that draws Christ's sheep to his side. It's not the vicious condemning law of God, which we certainly need to hear to realize our vulnerability, but it is rather the soothing, precious voice of the gospel. It's the forgiving nature of our Savior. It's the love and the grace that he expresses to us, just like he did so tenderly to the thief on the cross or to the woman who had been caught in adultery and so many other cases in Scripture. This is the voice of the shepherd. It's the gracious, merciful shepherd who draws the sheep to his side. And today his shepherding office is carried out through the mouths of sinful men who stand in pulpits and proclaim the same beautiful, soothing voice of the gospel, the same message of forgiveness and salvation for the whole world. The good shepherd also has a desire for his flock to get bigger. There's a flocking instinct also inside of sheep. Because they're such vulnerable animals, they're often drawn together into packs, and they find safety in numbers. In fact, one of the ways to tell that a sheep is sick is when it no longer exhibits a flocking instinct. Isn't that interesting when it comes to Christians as well? But that's often when you can tell when there's a spiritual sickness in us, when we no longer want to congregate and gather around our Lord and his voice through his word and sacrament. Jesus says, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Interesting thing that I hadn't noticed before. He makes a distinction between a fold and a flock. A fold is a little pen area where they often will put the sheep to protect them. A flock could be divided into multiple pens, multiple folds, but there could still be one flock. So Jesus says, "I have other sheep who are not of this fold," and yet, he says, there are others who must come and be part of the one great flock, the holy Christian church of believers to be found all around the world. I remember my seminary professor one time said, In the Bible, much ink is given to the spreading of the gospel after Easter. And that is really true. Much ink is spilled over the spreading of the gospel after Easter. It's the nature of the flock of Christ's sheep to want to grow. It's the nature of his church to want others to come and to settle under the voice of this wonderful good shepherd so that they can someday join us in the beautiful pastures of the mansions above. May God grant all of us the hearts of faith to continue to follow the voice of this wonderful shepherd. And may he also stir up our hearts in whatever way we can to also seek to grow his flock in this world. Amen. Please rise. Let us join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.